Johnson Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Steve Kathan. We've heard from President Biden about the second batch of sensitive documents that has the White House facing questions from Republicans.
The president says the searches of his homes in Rehoboth Beach and Wilmington, Delaware, conducted in consultation with federal prosecutors, were completed last night.
They discovered a small number of documents of classified markings in storage areas and file cabinets in my home and my personal library.
Mr. Biden says most of the documents were in a locked garage in Wilmington, next to his Corvette. He says he continues to cooperate with federal investigators. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
Mr. Biden said today inflation's going in the right direction. A government report pegged it at 6.5% in December compared to a year ago, lower than recent months, and prices fell slightly from November. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger says it's the first month-to-month drop in more than 2 years.
The index for gasoline led to the monthly decline. The energy index down 4.5% over the past month as the prices at the pump continued to slide. For the year, CPI increased by 6.5%, the smallest 12-month increase since the period ending in October of 21.
Well, now to California, where CBS's Carter Evans tells us more wet weather is forecast as much of the state tries to rebound from punishing storms that have caused death and destruction.
So far, the storms dumped more than 2 feet of rain in some areas. The Pajaro River bordering Santa Cruz is already overflowing. So's the Sacramento River, where residents are being forced out by rising water as more storms are expected through the weekend.
Government scientists say 2022 didn't set a new high, but is one of the top six warmest years on record. Their report warns of higher years to come because of climate change. Republicans in Montana want to require prior approval for abortions in that state that are funded by Medicaid. Clinic operator Aileen Gleiser is critical of the plan.
It's functionally a abortion ban for low-income families. If individuals have private health insurance, they don't have to go through these hoops.
47-year-old NASCAR veteran Kevin Harvick says this upcoming season will be his last behind the wheel. And 79-year-old singer-songwriter Joni Mitchell is getting the Library of Congress Gershwin Prize for popular song.
Seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone.
Previous winners of the Gershwin Prize include Paul McCartney, Stevie Wonder, and Carole King. Checking Wall Street right now, the Dow's up 165 points. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
As a Walgreens pharmacist, I talk with people all the time about little tips and tricks for filling their Medicare prescriptions, like taking advantage of Walgreens 90-day refills to save them a trip, or using Refill by Scan, which is super easy and right on your phone. And for anybody worried about prescription costs, I say, hey, we got you, with low-cost copays on many medications.
Let's talk about making things easier. Walgreens is here. Fill your way and save at walgreens.com/Medicare. See pharmacists for restrictions and exclusions.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
Pride.
Left corner, three on the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts, and a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you, and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Governor Evers' efforts to legalize recreational marijuana are likely up in smoke. That's what Assembly Speaker Robin Voss tells the Journal Sentinel. Evers plans to try to legalize recreational marijuana as part of his state budget proposal. Voss says legislative leaders are just starting to warm up to medical marijuana. Voss says Evers' recreational pot proposal could turn Republicans off. Wisconsin food share benefits will decrease at the end of February when the federal increase runs out. WSAW News 7 reports that currently benefits are $280 a month. In March, that amount will drop to $23 a month. This will also have an impact on the economy. Wisconsin residents' buying power will decrease by almost $80 million per month. 400,000 households in Wisconsin will be affected by Congress deciding to end these federal funds. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A few flurries possible at times this afternoon, otherwise overcast skies. Highs level off around 34, northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected. Tonight, a few flurries possible at times. Lows dip down to about 20. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 27. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 34.
I can see you in the morning when you go to school. Don't forget your books, you know you've got to learn the golden rule.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us today during your lunch hour, the noon hour. As always, and especially now, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. We are going to spend at least the first half of this hour, half hour, maybe the full hour, on some local news. We are sitting in downtown Waukesha at the WAUK, the Shaw Station. And last night, the Waukesha School Board voted unanimously, so that's 8-0,
yep,
on a bill that it sounds like didn't have... It's unclear if their lawyer, if the school board's lawyers looked at this yet. It's apparent that it was only added to the agenda the end of last week to be voted on last night. But the school district of Waukesha Board of Education voted unanimously 8-0 to approve an amended version of a proposal titled Parental Rights and Transparency. The proposal touches upon gender identity, pronouns, transgender athletes, and bathrooms. And there was a large crowd that ended up, despite the
last minute
nature of this, it seems like there was enough organizing that happened from parents. It sounds like potentially on both sides of the issue that showed up last night. And one of the questions addressed in the proposal is how the district should handle a student who wants to use pronouns and names without their parents' knowledge. And we're waiting. Sarah Harrison, former candidate for state representative, former candidate for Waukesha School Board, is going to be joining us shortly. But I just thought, because it's public knowledge as far as what was in the actual resolution. And so I thought to start until Sarah's able to get here, we just kind of talk through what's in there. So it says, a resolution to affirm the commitment of the school district of Waukesha Board of Education to the rights of parents to be informed of and to direct the education of their minor children. Whereas the school district of Waukesha Board of Education believes parents play the primary role as decision makers in the student's K-12 educational experience. Parents are their children's first teacher and remain teachers and role models throughout their child's educational journey. The relationship between student and classroom teacher should be positive and formative, but does not replace the relationship of a parent and child. The school day should focus on learning and individual development with opportunities for constructive play and intellectual curiosity and with appropriately challenging academic goals for every student. All students deserve to feel welcome at school, regardless of religious beliefs, race, ethnicity, or sexual orientation. No student shall be compelled to affirm through speech, writing, or action an opinion that violates their deeply held personal, religious, or moral beliefs. Minor students' questions of gender, identity, and sexuality are personal and private. Any involvement on these topics by school staff should be done with the full consent and collaboration of the parents. Consideration of controversial issues has a place in the instructional program of the district when related to the instructional goals of the course of study, and when introduced and conducted properly, the content is age appropriate and is without bias or intent to cause harm or disruption. Student physical safety at school is a district priority. Students and their parents have a right to privacy and information security. Licensed student services professionals play a critical role in creating positive school environments and strengthening family-school partnerships, which are essential for student well-being and academic growth. And finally, access to technology is necessary in a modern learning environment. District-issued student devices are an extension of instructional resources and should not create an unmitigated risk of introducing harmful or inappropriate content. So it goes on for a couple more pages, but that's everything on the first page. And joining us now is Sarah Harrison. Welcome back to the show. We had you in the fall ahead of the election, but do we have her mic on? Great. So if you just, just talk right into that. Welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So paint the picture of, I guess, the lead up of this, because I received multiple DMs, Civic Media got an email kind of alerting that this was happening. And then it happened last night. So kind of let's just paint the picture of what happened before last night and the lead up to this.
Sure. Well, we first saw anything about this as a parent community. I have a child at School of Waukesha. And we first saw anything about this 5 days ago in the board meeting agenda notes.
So this was like Friday of last week or over the weekend?
Yeah, it would have been probably Friday, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is, and so anyone who's even noticing that this is happening is people who are reading the board's agenda notes. Okay.
Yeah. You got to be looking for it. Yeah. This resolution wasn't on any sort of committee agenda. It was spoken about apparently within a committee, but it wasn't on the agenda. So it's the whole thing's a little surprising to us as parents, which is ironic because it's supposed to be about transparency to the parents, and we didn't know they were talking about transparency. So about, late last week, we first became aware of it and started, talking back and forth about, well, what does this mean? And is this the same as some of the national things that we've seen? And it's absolutely a page out of the Parents' Bill of Rights that you saw from Josh Hawley, that you saw from our Wisconsin Republican Party a year ago. It's 100% the same content. It's really disappointing to me that this sort of was sprung on us in that way.
And so that was a lead up. And then it seems like there was enough alarms or awareness spread that a lot of people showed up to the meeting last night. Yeah. And so how did the meeting go?
The meeting was interesting. I mean, Waukesha school board meetings are always interesting, but
and you wanted to be part of it.
I did. It would have at least been a 7-1 vote. Dang it. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. It's encouraging to see young folks speaking up about what they and their peers are going through. And there were some parents there as well, myself included, who spoke with the board, who gave public comment. There were a few people who were also
I appreciate that you're trying to find the right words.
Yeah. I'm trying to be kind. The folks who were saying, yes, please do this thing, didn't have specific concerns. They didn't have...
they couldn't point to certain instances where this has happened and it's been a bad thing.
It was just, well, my kid is my kid, and I should know everything that's going on in their lives. And gosh, I think most parents know you don't know everything that's going on in their lives. And it's been shown that kids, whatever, minors who have someone that they can trust, who are in the LGBTQ community, are much less likely to feel as ostracized, to attempt self-harm. LGBTQ kids are 4 times as likely to attempt suicide. And our school already took away the safe space signs. We already took away the pride flags. And now we're taking away the trusted adult that student could talk to. I don't see how this benefits anyone. I personally have two kids who are in the LGBTQ community, and I'm very proud of them. And when they came to talk to me about how they were feeling and where they fit into this crazy world, it was a celebratory conversation. It was mm-hmm. like, hey, I think I figured this out, and here's where I fit. And, you know, hey, let's go have some brownies or something. I mean, and not every kid has yes. that. It's the kids that don't have that I worry about. I know that there were some students who wanted to attend the meeting, whose parents wouldn't allow them to attend the meeting. And those are probably exactly the kids that we need to help, right? I think it's a tenuous, slippery slope at best, and legally not very strong.
So that's a question that I have as far as, because this has developed so quickly, mm-hmm. have lawyers looked at this? Is this legal?
So they said that the board did state that they have had conversations with their legal advisors, and that the legal advisors had suggested that if a parent calls to ask, that they can share any information they have, including, names, pronouns, sexual preference. But that they shouldn't be calling parents and telling them this. And that's exactly what they're proposing to do, is to call the parents if it comes up at all.
So basically treating it, because I think teachers fall under that, teachers like therapists, where there is, right. when it comes to a minor, if there's abuse mm-hmm. of any sort, they have to, yes. they're required to...
Yes.
report it. Yep. So they're trying to treat coming out in some way or form almost like it's abuse, where they have to report.
Right. Well, and I think this is funny because one of the board members brought up, hey, do we know if this is legal? Have we talked to, our legal counsel? And the president of the board said, oh, we have. I'm not sure if it was the president who said we have. I believe it was actually the assistant superintendent who said, yes, we have. And XYZ, like I just explained. And so the proposed workaround for that was, okay, so every year we'll just ask parents if they want us to call them if something is going on. And I'm like, okay, you asking parents, do you want to know this, is not the same as a parent calling you mm-hmm. asking that. So I think there's a strong legal challenge there for what they're trying to do. And I think I don't find it to be very ethical that they passed the resolution knowing that it was not what their legal advice was from their counsel. Now, this is not a policy.
Is it a proposal?
Proposal. Thank you. You saved me. But it is what they want to base future policies on, and they want to have it in place like by March. So this is all happening very quickly.
Yeah. So we have to take our first break. When we come back, kind of talk about what does this even look like when you take it out of theory mm-hmm. and put it into application of what this looks like, what responsibility and extra work this puts on teachers. And yeah. I think there's so many more other implications, and the whole dress code thing, which feels like, did that also get passed last night?
Yes, but not quite in the way that it was.
Okay. We'll talk about it. We'll talk when we come back. All right. Stick with us. We're talking about the Waukesha School Board District meeting that happened last night. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only 1 in 3 Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
24/7 at waukradio.com.
Wisconsin with Kristen Rye. We are talking about the Waukesha Board of Education and the meeting that happened last night where they voted 8-0 to approve a proposal titled Parental Rights and Transparency, and how fast-tracked the whole situation was. And joining us to talk about it is Waukesha School District parent and also former candidate for Waukesha School Board and former candidate for state representative, Sarah Harrison. Thank you for coming back. And so this passed, and it's just a proposal. It's not the actual policy yet.
Right.
So what does the conversation become now as far as how this goes from theory to application?
Sure. That's a great question. I'm not sure how you make this. How do you make this practiced, practicable, practical? For those teachers. So is it, if a student comes to a teacher and specifically says, I want to be, please use they, them pronouns for me, or please use she, her, or he, him, whatever it may be, is that the trigger? Or is it that I'm a teacher and I'm in the lunchroom and I overhear that so-and-so who was biologically female is being called he, him? Well, now do I have to tell the parents? Am I now the gender police that has to get in touch with the parents? And it puts teachers in this middle ground that I guarantee they don't want to be in. Yeah. And I don't know how you do this and make it practical. I think essentially the aim is to just shut down anyone who wants to have that different name or use different pronouns than they historically have or than that are assigned to their biological sex. And it's very damaging to a trans kid to use their dead name. It's not a small thing to them. It's really harmful. And I wish that our board members would take a step outside of their bubble and understand what some of these kids are going through. It's not a friendly world to this group of kids already, and they're making it even worse.
And so, because that is the question, I mean, it also I come back to, is this the highest priority?
Yeah, I'm not sure why it should be.
Because didn't a lot of people run on, we should be focusing on education, we should be focusing on test scores, we should be focusing on achievement and graduation rates.
Yep.
And is there anything that they can point to as why this bolsters that goal?
Not that I'm aware of. Yeah. I don't think that anyone's going to pass a test better if they're closeted versus not. I think that's going to have the opposite effect for that group. And It really underestimates our students, too. It's saying, well, our kids can't handle this. We're going to protect them from this dangerous thing. And it's not dangerous. It doesn't hurt anyone for you to use their pronouns that they identify as. I don't understand how this hurts anyone. And we didn't hear any arguments about that. What we heard, excuse me, in terms of folks who support the resolution, it was just, I deserve to know everything about my kid. And I think that there are some times where if you are not a safe space for your own kid, maybe that's not, who needs to know?
Well, and that's the thing. About a month or so ago, we had completely different situation, but we had Natalie Eilbert, who wrote an article about how Wisconsin falls in this weird loophole where mm-hmm. some minors cannot get medical care without their parents' consent. And the number of minors who fall under, it's like 17,000 mm-hmm. unhoused people, like minors who can't, if that, something happens to them and their parents aren't there or don't sign off on medical care, they can't get medical care. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that everyone lives in a house like I grew up in,
right,
which I was incredibly lucky. I had an unbelievably supportive parents. I am still so close to them today. Mm-hmm. And had I come out, I'm sure there would have been some questions because it was the 90s and the early 2000s, but you know, they would have been supportive, but mm-hmm. so many people do not have that kind of support system at home.
Yeah.
And a lot of them find it at school sometimes.
Yes.
And this is taking that away.
Absolutely. It that is the one safe space that is left for some students. And my oldest, my 18-year-old, actually spoke at the meeting last night, too. And that was kind of their point, was you have already made this an uncomfortable environment, and now you're taking away that last bit where there might have been a trusted adult that someone could go to, and now they can't for fear of being outed. People should be able to choose who they are out to and at what pace. And this completely cuts that off for them.
And I think too, Sarah, this is not just happening here in Waukesha. There is a concerted effort around the country.
Yes.
And from what I understand, it is a religiously based group that is pushing these things.
Yeah. So groups like, I know Moms for Liberty, and here in Wisconsin, the group Will have definitely.
The law firm?
my
favorite law firm in Wisconsin.
Yeah, they're great. They have definitely pushed these things, and the Republican Party too. I mean, it's a political thing, and it is a lot of things are religious based, and we're supposed to have a separation here between, you know, your religion and public schools. If you want to go to a religious school, you can go to a religious school, but this is not supposed to be part of how we form our policies in public schools.
All right, well, we're going to keep this conversation going. Sarah's going to stay here. If you have thoughts or comments or questions about the situation, both either in your own school district or the Waukesha School District, 844-967-2789. We will take your calls and texts when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Need help paying for health care? As a health insurance navigator, my job is to help people find affordable or low-cost options. When you connect with an expert, getting coverage is easy and our help is free. We find the best deals, whether it's from healthcare.gov or state coverage like BadgerCare. And you can reach us in person, phone, text, or online. Honestly, it's like chatting with a friend who knows everything about health insurance. Call the 211 helpline to find an expert near you or go to wiscovered.com, paid for by Covering Wisconsin.
One day it's bone-chilling cold. The next, the sun is shining. Hey, it's Wisconsin. Don't like the weather? Wait 10 minutes. It'll change. Sooner or later, the snow will go away. But right now, it's freezing cold. And all that cold weather can cause freeze-ups in your holding tank or septic pipe system. So be sure that you keep an eye out for trouble. And call Crockett Septic to help you if you encounter a jam. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. Crockett Septic, where the trucks smell like sweet cherry pie.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pump right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Need help paying for health care? As a health insurance navigator, my job is to help people find affordable or low-cost options. Call the 211 helpline to find an expert near you or go to wiscovered.com. Paid for by Cover in Wisconsin.
Hello, music lovers. Tim the Polka Guy here to let you know the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show is moving to a new time slot, 12 noon every Saturday. So join me for the best in old-time music every Saturday at 12 noon right here on the new WFHR 97.5 FM and AM 1320.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you. I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The Marathon County Sheriff's Office made a significant drug bust as a result of a traffic stop in southern Marathon County. Deputies tried to stop a vehicle on January 6th for a traffic offense, but the driver, Jacob Gould, ignored them and tried to get away. Officers pursued the vehicle and then continued in a foot chase when Gould got out of his vehicle and ran. He was arrested and taken into custody. Investigators then executed a search warrant at Gould's house in the village of Weston and found fentanyl, methamphetamine, cocaine, and a gun. He was booked into the Marathon County Jail for possession with intent to distribute and possession of a firearm as a felon, among other charges. A federal grand jury has accused Vesper man John Angereden, age 55, with possession of methamphetamine and cocaine with intent to distribute, among other charges. Two other men from Fitchburg and Milwaukee were also part of the same grand jury indictments and were arrested as part of the Project Safe Neighborhoods program. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A few flurries possible at times this afternoon, otherwise overcast skies. Highs level off around 34, northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected. Tonight, a few flurries possible at times. Lows dip down to about 20. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 27. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 34.
Parent in the Waukesha School District, former candidate for the Waukesha School Board, former candidate for state representative. And we were talking about the school board meeting in Waukesha that happened last night where they voted 8-0 on a proposal titled Parental Rights and Transparency that largely had to do with gender identity, pronouns, transgender athletes, bathrooms. And Jane, you said that we had a caller?
Dave from the Shaw is on the line. Go ahead, Dave.
Hi, Kristen. Hi, Sarah. Hi. Sarah's a friend of mine. I'm a parent here in Waukesha, and I'm also a school board junkie. I watch the meetings. I keep up with what's happening, and I watched last night, and I think something stuck out to me. I heard one board member talk about she owns her kids, and that's not the first time she's used that language before. I heard another board member talk about controlling their kids, and I think these those kinds of comments are microcosms of the bigger issues that we're facing in Waukesha, and it's based around the perceived needs of parents instead of focusing on who needs to be most important, which is obviously the students. And I think because the board rushed this resolution and they didn't take community input, it seems to me it's really focused on the needs of just a handful of parents as opposed to maybe taking the pulse of the entire community. And I think it these actions from the board in the last year and a half, from removal of the safe space signage and rainbow flags to this parent's bill of rights, and even you guys mentioned the dress code changes. And what was originally proposed as going back to business casual with no T-shirts, that was changed to just a change in non-political or controversial clothing, something that even is like goofy as a lanyard. I think this it reiterates a bias against the LGBTQIA community, and like Sarah brought up before, I think there's some real terrible outcomes when you do all of these things that seem biased against one group of kids. And anyway, I appreciate you guys taking my call and continuing this conversation, because I think it's for the good of students in some ways, like for the good of like their life. And we just need to keep pushing.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for the call, Dave. And that's it, because you said there were students who spoke last night.
Yes.
Were any of those students for the resolution?
No.
Got it.
No. There were two recent graduates who spoke, and then there were at least two current students, and all of them were in support of, I'm sorry, all of them were against the resolution.
Because I would say in the many videos nationwide that have gone viral of school boards and how interesting they've gotten over the last couple of years, of the young people who testify, I don't know if testify, can speak.
Sure.
I don't know if I've seen any of them who are saying, I you know, more conservative, I feel threatened, I feel manipulated, I feel groomed, as that buzzword. Yeah. And granted, I can't watch every school board meeting in the country.
You
but
don't
I,
want
I
to.
Just, no, I know. But you know what I mean? And so it is interesting, as Dave was saying, as far as this being about the students, and who are the ones who are complaining, feeling they feel threatened at school because of safe spaces, because there is inclusionary topics or shows or whatever. And so it's like the comfort of the parents seemingly being prioritized over any student who's even coming forward saying, this makes me uncomfortable. Like, this rainbow flag makes me uncomfortable.
Right.
I'm not saying it doesn't exist.
Sure.
It just doesn't seem like those are the people who are, those are the young people who are saying, this is why this affects me.
Right. Right. I don't know anyone who suddenly turned queer because their teacher had a rainbow lanyard. I've yet to hear that story. If it's out there, that would be really interesting, but I don't think that's happening. And I think you're right. You're right. It's a knee-jerk reaction by parents. It's something that has been put into the national spotlight by politicians on the Republican side. It is not something that is an organic issue that we're hearing about in Waukesha. It may be that there are some issues that are happening here, there. I don't know. I can't possibly know that. But it's not coming from a groundswell of people really are feeling put out by the non-existent, you know. Well, people can't even wear that stuff now anyway. But it's not to protect those students. From what I'm seeing, it's a parental reaction, and they want to have control.
Yeah.
We have a texter from the 608. Coming from a student in the Waukesha School District, I'm beyond disgusted with the decision that has been unanimously made by the school board. In no way does this have anything to do with education. This is a way for the board to have more control over these children's lives. I'm convinced they're scared of not having that stronghold. We're kids. We're changing, growing up, discovering ourselves, and they're scared of us. They don't want us to have separate beliefs. They want the children in the schools to conform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think what Dave said as far as the language, because words matter, right?
Yes.
I own my kids. And it's that I brought you into this world. I'll take you out of it. That kind of mentality of... Yeah. Good luck with your long-term relationship with your kid.
You know, it's funny. That's exactly what my kids said to me is, well, in 20 years, they're not going to have a relationship. And that board member said the word own multiple times. This was not a slip up. This is how she refers to her children, I guess. I'm not even going to go down that rabbit hole of owning humans. It's not a thing. Yeah. No, this is for the comfort of the adults in the room.
Yeah. We're talking to Sarah Harrison about the Waukesha School Board vote that happened last night on the parental rights and transparency proposal. And it's interesting. I saw one of the best analogies. And it was a teacher. This is on TikTok. Mm-hmm. I love that. Like that, I just have to admit it that this is on TikTok. And it was someone who was a teacher.
Yeah.
And she was they were a high school teacher. And they present very androgynously. They have short hair. Really funky clothing, and they were giving the analogy that in addition to being non-binary, they are a vegetarian.
Okay.
And they were saying how I don't push, you know, my kids ask me about being a vegetarian. Right. They ask me where I eat.
Mm-hmm.
What do I eat for lunch?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I've convinced any of them to become a vegetarian. I'm not trying to become. She's like, but I will say this.
Yeah.
I had a student who was interested in becoming a pescatarian, and mm-hmm. they felt very comfortable asking me questions about it.
Yeah.
And it was such a great, they did it better than I did, but it was such a great, it's just the identities or the place that teachers have
mm-hmm.
to think that if you as a parent can't control your own kid, why do you think a teacher's going to be able to control their kid?
Yeah, exactly. And aren't you supposed to be trying to develop your kid to make good choices and to be their own person? I mean, that has always been my goal as a parent, is not to control my kids. Maybe when they're like 3 years old and throwing a fit, maybe there's a little bit of, all right, well, we got to try to control this. But, you know, your ultimate goal shouldn't be to control them, because then what happens when they leave the house? How do they function as a fully formed human if you don't ever let them be themselves?
And so Jane, do you have something?
Don't you think, though, I think sometimes people have children with the goal of having mini-me's.
Yeah.
They're going to look like me. They're going to act like me. They're going to think the same way I do about everything. And when that doesn't happen, I think some people are really shocked.
Yeah. I mean, if I had an Alex P. Keaton, I might have a different point of view, right? My kids are pretty similar to me. but you know, all joking aside, I mean, I have folks that I'm close to that are different than me. We're not all, you know, it's not a vanilla, exactly the same type of community.
Homogenous,
that's a better way to say it. I have folks in my family who have various political views, and we can get along and we can talk about those things. We don't have to all agree on everything.
Yeah. And so going back to a little bit more of what ended up happening with the dress code,
because
mm-hmm. there's separate but kind of under the same thing, because the original email that got forwarded to me about staff and dress grooming, saying, as such, we require staff to dress in a professional manner that can be described as business casual, which does not include any of the following: t-shirts, jeans, sweatpants, sweatshirts, athletic shorts, tight or ill-fitting clothing that shows excessive skin, tennis shoes, beach sandals, flip-flops, my husband would be out, and baseball caps or other hats. And I mean, to a certain extent, some of that I get, because it's your job. But the points that I was seeing is like, what are the phi ed teachers going to wear?
Yes.
What are special ed teachers going to wear? So how is that what got passed? Or what did the conversation end up being about how teachers can dress?
So the list basically went away, which was really odd, because that was at the HR meeting, which was right before, and then they spoke about it also at the general meeting. Myself and a kindergarten teacher, first grade teacher, both spoke at the HR meeting saying, if I'm a special ed teacher, if I'm a kindergarten teacher sitting on the floor crisscross applesauce, how am I supposed to wear a dress or Like
jeans or yoga pants.
Or something. Yeah, slacks. Right? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And
also, just quickly, business casual clothes are not cheap.
No.
And teachers do not make a lot of money. So the thing is like, oh, you have to have this wardrobe to look appropriate at school, mm-hmm. but we're not going to give you any money to go get that wardrobe. But anyway, sorry to interrupt you.
Well, what cracks me up is that a lot of this stuff that they have listed actually in most business casual environments would be acceptable.
I'm wearing a t-shirt right now. This is like the most dressed up I've been all week.
Me too. I got jeans on. I'm a manager. I run a team of 12 people and I still can be a professional when I'm wearing my jeans. It's amazing that doesn't change my personality. Sorry, a little sassy there. But what they ended up saying was basically anything with messaging was out. And then they were very adamant about any type of accessory, such as a lanyard or a mask, must be a single color. And all that's the only reason for them to say that is that they don't want rainbows. They don't want things like, you know, trans flag colors or anything like that. And how has any student's education ever been impacted by the color or colors of their teacher's lanyard? This is what we're spending our time on. Mm-hmm. This is a manufactured outrage baloney, in my view.
So in the couple minutes we have left, this passed.
Mm-hmm.
It's now moving forward in what the application of it will look like.
Yep.
Is there anything people can do?
Yeah.
As far as, because it seems like something where people showed up at the meeting to mm-hmm. make a comment.
Mm-hmm.
The comment was not, I mean, I don't know what the balance was between both sides, but as far as the people who hold the power are continuing to move forward. And so is it just a more and more awareness for the next school board election? Is like, what would you give as far as like,
well,
whether it's Waukesha specifically or I guess more generally across mm-hmm. the state?
So unfortunately, in the next school board election, we have four candidates and only one of them would have voted differently. And that's Diane Voigt, and she's amazing, and I fully endorse her, and you should support her.
And that's for this upcoming election?
That's for this upcoming election in April. I personally plan to continue making a lot of noise. I'm reaching out to some LGBTQ affinity groups and trying to see what has been done in other areas to fight back against these things. I am trying to pull in any resource that I can think of to have a basis for this to be reversed. But once it's so much harder once it's already been approved.
Yeah.
And we still have to go through the policy development. So we can still make comments, but if they're not heard, that's not going to give a lot of reaction or a lot of action.
Yeah. Well, as this story develops, we will definitely have you back. But Sarah Harrison, thank you so much for joining us. This conversation is important and we will continue to talk about it. But thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, it'll still be As Goes Wisconsin.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tease at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Data shows that after a child turns 9 in foster care, they are much less likely to be adopted. But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes every child is adoptable.
Families, if you're able to let your hair down a little bit, there's a lot to learn from teenagers.
The clock is ticking for teens at risk of aging out of foster care. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. A reminder that we love getting hearing from you. This was a topic that was brought to us that we spent the better part of an hour talking about, and it's not something that I probably would have known about until Journal Sentinel and the other news outlets talked about it.
Right.
So this is a perfect example of what's happening in the Waukesha School District, of a great topic that we would always love to be able to talk about and bring people on, and we would love to hear from you. So if you have an idea for a topic or a guest, you can always email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. And some of the other stories I had planned, I'm going to bump to tomorrow.
That's fine.
I went back and around this time, it was April-ish. So I think it was early April in the lead up to last year's nonpartisan spring elections. And school boards, I think some of the people who were on the school board were elected in last year as
right.
far as this the Waukesha School Board.
Right.
And last year, there was a lot, you know, it was the Mequon Thienesville recall. It was a lot of activist, conservative recruited people running for school boards. And so one of the videos I made for Journal Sentinel, or one of the stories, it was kind of like, I wanted to look into the history of this. And, you know, there are school historians who made it very easy to research this because they've already looked into this. But, you know, last year and even in 2021, 2022, Wisconsin alone had school members resign because of dysfunction and violent threats. Like I said, the attempted recall in Mequon Thienesville, it didn't actually end up going through. What?
And keep in mind that some of these people don't even have kids in these school districts. Some of the people who are doing this agitating and driving for these changes don't have children in those school yeah. districts, may not even be from Wisconsin.
Yeah. And, you know, there's also just more and more money getting into these school board races. And so, you know, I think originally this started with school closures and virtual learning and masks and now it's, I feel like CRT is less of a buzzword than it was. Now it feels much more centered on LGBTQIA plus issues. But it's interesting because it's not new to time is a flat circle, as Matthew McConaughey says. So almost a century ago, let's think about this, we had the Scopes monkey trial. And the fight over teaching evolution, which obviously then became a play and everything. But like that was at school board levels. That was what you were allowed to teach. You could not teach evolution. You had to teach creationism. And that was heated, to
yes.
say the least.
Yes, it was. It got hot.
And what was the play that they made out of that? Now that I can't think of it. Someone's going to correct me.
It's not 12 Angry Men. That's
no, that's a different thing. That's juries.
Yeah, yeah.
That's also a great play. Though it does feel like something that Gregory Peck would have starred in the movie version.
Doesn't it, though? He would be Clarence Darrow, of course. Yeah.
And so, but that was, you know, that was a century ago. In the 60s, the John Birch Society would storm school board meetings and demand members answer, are you now or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party?
And if you don't know much about the John Birch Society, do a little reading up on it. It's fascinating.
It's entirely linked to McCarthyism and the communist and a conservative movement. But then this is what's really fascinating, if you forget this. So in 1974, there was a violent boycott over a West Virginia school board decision to include multicultural textbooks. So this whole CRT thing is not new. And it ended with, like, there were plots to bomb school buses.
Oh, my goodness.
And then even in 1993, this was a headline from the LA Times. School boards become the religious right's new pulpit. Education, alliances of conservative Christian parents, political groups take control of panels, spark battles. And that was 30 years ago. And so this cycle of attacking or targeting school boards for a certain ideology, you know, like some of the things that I learned as far as historians kind of explaining why this happens is these are meetings that are easily accessible.
Sure.
You know, not everyone can get to Madison. Not everyone can get to DC.
Right.
And it feels, and these are people who live in your community and maybe don't feel as unapproachable or separate as your state representatives or the governor or your congressman. But it's like,
and they're less protected as well.
Oh, absolutely. And so they're in, and these meetings happen right down the street. And on top of it, it's, you're talking about kids and people, like whenever kids are in, I mean, like, I think the word I used yesterday is like as props of, if you appeal to their fears about their kids, people are going to react. And like, I'm not going to say that's not a natural reaction. I don't have kids yet, but I can imagine how protective
sure,
I'm going to be.
Absolutely.
But what are they afraid of? And I think it comes back to saying, like, are they afraid of that they can't control how their kids are going to see the world?
Again, because they want mini-me's. They want children who will go forth with the same worldview that they have and perpetuate that. Because they're right.
Yeah.
I'm always amazed, because I don't have kids. And I'm always amazed, though, by parents who are surprised that their children are independent thinkers. It's like, did you really think that they were going to just be exactly like you? You're cuckoo.
I did have a friend once, and I love this friend dearly, and it almost surprised me that she said this so boldly. And I think it had to do with, because the first kid was a boy and popped out looking exactly like his dad.
Okay.
And is very much a mini. So far, he's 5.
Well, we got a ways to go.
Yes. But like, you know, and their attempt to get pregnant with a second one, she so badly wanted a girl. And she literally used those words. She's like, I just want a mini me. And I was like, and I don't think she meant it in the way, like, I want her to look in, like, I think she definitely wanted her to look like her, but I don't, you know, now she's 2. So, but I remember seeing that. I was like, I'm not going to say her name, but I was like,
you're saying
Betsy. I was like, Betsy, like, that's like such a weird, it's a weird thing to say.
And you're setting yourself up for disappointment.
Yeah.
Like Sarah said,
especially because she got a girl, doesn't necessarily look like her.
Well, and like Sarah said, don't you want them to be the best human being they can be? Shouldn't that be the goal, instead of being a better version of you?
Isn't the goal to eventually have them grow up and have them teach you something?
Yes. And go away. Be an adult.
Yeah.
Get out of my house.
All right. Well, when we come back, on to more fun topics, Dr. Mike is here for Dr. Mike Fixes Your Life and Your Lineup. We're going to go through some more of those small things you can do to improve your life slightly without very much effort. But if you have questions for the doctor, you can call in. All right, this is Ask Goes Wisconsin. Be right back.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.